Hi, thanks again so much for joining me on the Traveling in Ireland podcast. Today, we are going to be talking all about golfing in Ireland. But before we begin, I want to give you a little reminder. If you visit a place that you've heard about on the podcast, be sure to let them know. It helps me get more great guests on the show and share more terrific Ireland attractions and tips. So go ahead and be a name dropper. Just say, I heard about you on the Traveling in Ireland podcast. So today, my guest is Gerard Burke. Gerard is the CEO of Ireland Travel Links, which is a bespoke luxury tour operator with expertise in golf tours. So Gerard, thank you so much for joining me today.
My pleasure, Jody.
Now, it's so nice to have you here because I will admit, I am not a golfer. I can literally count on one hand the number of times I've held a club, and it may actually just be one finger that I can use. So I am not a golfer, but I know that thousands of people visit Ireland every year to play golf on the fantastic courses. So what is it that makes Ireland such an amazing golf destination?
So, Jody, I suppose to start with, you know, what makes Ireland interesting is really we're out here in the outer periphery of Europe, just like England and Scotland is. And these courses started out as what we call seaside golf. So people came traditionally to the seaside. They stayed in these resorts. They played golf. So it was very, you know, golf wasn't a big business back then. But what makes them special is their terms like, you know, golf links. Now, we ask ourselves the question, what is links like? Where does that name come from? So the term links comes from the land that links the foreshore and the inland known as the link land. And the link land is always sand. And links, by their nature, are always on the sea. Some maybe in large lakes up around Michigan and places like that. But generally, because, you know, Ireland is quite coastal, we are blessed with having, you know, some of the finest links courses in the world. Like, and to your question, like what makes them popular, it's, you know, generally our weather like is considered sometimes a little inclement, you know, a lot of wind, a lot of rain. And the challenge to play links golf is different to what most Americans especially will play in inland tree-lined courses with some water maybe. But the challenge to play links golf is what they aspire to do. And that brings them to Ireland. Now, initially, like I said, going back when there were seaside links and it was only Irish and some other visitors that played them, some golf writers had discovered Ireland like by making trips over here. The word was sort of going around. I suppose one of our most famous people that discovered was one of the most famous golfers in the world, Tom Watson, 5-time British Open winner. He was lifelong friends with a guy by the name of Sandy Tatum, who was a former president of the USGA, Rhodes Scholar. And he was always telling Tom Watson, you've got to come to Ireland and play, especially Ballybunion. And when he did, the very first time he came, he was asked what he thought of it. And he said, this is probably the best course in the world. And that was a fair accolade for us to receive. And lo and behold, like, you know, Americans were as scarce as hen's teeth. And suddenly, by virtue of that accolade, you know, and this was, I know we're talking way before what we have now in social media and everything like this, word, you know, went out to the golfing world and, you know, Americans started to come in their droves. And of course, say, especially from the East Coast of America, you can get a red eye flight over in the evening. You can be there first thing in the morning. You can play golf that day. We speak the same language, you know, there's little subtleties in there maybe, but we tick a lot of boxes from that point of view. And it's an attractive proposition. And then, of course, on top of that, you know, the diaspora, you've got the, we say there are two types of Irish. There are those who are and those who want to be. So every American like that I've ever met claims to have some Irish blood in them, like however small, whatever percentage it is. So yeah, it's a big deal for them, not just even coming to play golf, but the Irish connection, you know, is important to them.
That is so interesting. I never knew that about the Lynx courses and why they were named that way. And that makes so much sense. And, you know, thinking about the difficulty of it being right on the ocean, you know, because I don't know, I feel like at least where I live in the U.S., golf is kind of a fair weather sport. You know, you're not playing it in the rain, you're not playing it in the extreme wind. But I know that there are golfers out on those links courses all year round. It takes a lot of wind to get them off the course. And so...
Yes, correct. And that's interesting that you make that point, because it is a fair weather sport for a lot of Americans. And whether it's me taking them around or caddies going out with them, you know, we say, God, we wouldn't go out in this weather. But they love the challenge of it. You know, they just love, like, I think that gives them even more to talk about. That I won't say it was unplayable, but like the wind is going left and right and everything. And it just makes the whole thing exciting for them, especially if they come in groups and they talk about every shot they played afterwards. Like, you know, they go, oh my God, you see where that ball went, you know, when we were coming off the ocean at 100 miles an hour, you know, and sideways rain. And it makes the whole experience even better again for them. Now, we prefer if they get better weather because it's a fair test, of course, but because a lot of these links courses are traditionally not like they're sub 7,000 yards. So a lot of the courses that are in climates that are usually better, like they have to make them longer because there's no wind. So the wind is your obstacle. The wind restricts, like, you know, since you can hit the ball. And there are many different types of shots that you have to invent and play, you know, to kind of negotiate, to navigate your way around links courses. And generally it's just sand dunes, no trees, you know, the ocean is on usually the back nine or something like that. You know, there's, you know, the obstacles are different, like to tree line courses or lakes in the middle.
Right. So it's a whole different challenge to what people would normally play.
It is.
Yeah. But speaking of those, you know, kind of normal golf courses, obviously you have those too. You have beautifully manicured inland courses at the resorts. I know Dare Manor has one that is relatively famous. Ashford Castle has one. So there are lots of courses that maybe are more, I don't want to say traditional, but more common. Is common a good word, or more, what would you say?
Yeah, we'll say in Ireland anyway, we have presently three types of courses. The links that we just mentioned, okay, and they're on the seaboard side. And the inland courses that you just mentioned, they're like a Dare Manor where the Ryder Cup will be in 2027. Probably one of the finest inland links courses there is. And because the guy who owns a JP McManus, the money he has put into it, and, you know, greens with sub-air, like, this is just a state-of-the-art place. Then the third type, which really only emerged in the last number of years, a place called Old Head and Hogshead. Now, they're what we call headland golf, generally on cliff edges, rock underneath, neither links nor inland, but, you know, maybe leaning a little bit towards more like links because they're usually on the seaward side. So they're called headland golf. And they've been gaining a lot of traction because, again, it presents another type of challenge. You know, we're blessed to have those. Like, and we'll say traditionally all of our, like, Ballybunions, Lahinches, Waterville, all those are, you know, Portmarnock, all them, they're all over 100 years old. That's the other thing that attracts is the tradition. You know, since they started out here during British occupation, they might have started as nine-hole courses and then they evolved over time. And it was only according as they had money. And all these courses had little or no money. They were dependent on membership. And so they could only spend what they had in a lot of, sometimes the work was voluntary. And, you know, sometimes it was nature was the head greenkeeper. We say the greenkeeper in the sky, you know. It was a big journey to get where they are now, you know, doing fantastic business. And COVID was one of the things, especially in the US, like, I mean, pre-COVID, a lot of clubs, lesser-known clubs in the US were struggling. And then suddenly when COVID came, it was one of the things that people discovered, like yourself, maybe you never played golf before, it was outdoors and you started to dabble in it and you suddenly, you know, you got addicted to it. And so post-COVID, like, the numbers, like, just spiraled. And from that, we are getting more visitors coming to this side of the world, to Ireland, North Ireland and Scotland. Because of that, they literally, if COVID did end, it did one good thing for golf, like it did really, really did a lot of good for struggling clubs. And there's, I think, nearly 15,000 courses in the US. I think it's 14,700. That's a lot of courses, you know, and, you know, with membership, some of them very expensive, some of them, you know, not so expensive, and some of them in between. So a lot of these clubs were extraordinarily grateful for, you know, the ill wind that blew in their direction. You know, an ill wind blows a little bit of good to somebody, you know, but that was a big thing. And then the knock-on effect of that is they all want to come over here and play. And like I say, it's the fact there's no language barrier. The fact that, especially from the East Coast, with a good tailwind, you can be here in 5.5 hours, maybe in more like 7 going back. You know, they come like maybe for a 4 or 5 or 7 day trip, you know. It's not a big deal, you know, it's not a major, major planning operation, you know, for most people. Okay, if you come from the California Midwest, yeah, you're
it's a little further.
Iowa, your travel time's a lot is gonna be a lot longer. But invariably a lot of golfers, like, it will be one of their dreams to go to like Ireland or Scotland, play golf in their lifetime, you know. They'll plan a trip with either 4 people or 8 or 12 or 16, or it could be, you know, couples, 3 or 4 couples that wise both play or whatever.
Right. And I've noticed that when I talk to people who are planning a golf trip, it is really centered around golf. There might be some other things going on, but they know the courses they want to play. They want to go one course to another course to another course, not a lot of dabbling in between. So they are truly there for the golf experience. And knowing that, when people are wanting to come and really immerse themselves in golf, kind of what does their day look like? What do they need to know? Are there any tips they need? Because I know that you will do the bookings for the courses for people who are working with you. But if somebody's coming over and let's say they're renting a car, are there any tips or tricks they need to know about booking into courses or maybe some course etiquette that might be a little bit different?
Yeah, it's probably very hard for people to, I wouldn't be advising them to drive anyway, because they're going to drive on the other side of the road. If you can at all get somebody to take you around, it's a much better experience. Because usually, you know, if you're driving and you're going to have a few beers after a round of golf, you know, it's not, and you're negotiating narrow roads and windy roads, not a good idea. Now, because if you plan a golf trip in Ireland, you practically have to plan 1 year in advance at least, because you're not going to get on otherwise. And like you mentioned earlier, everyone has their kind of, like if I go to the US and I go to California, I want to play Cypress or I want to play Pebble. You want to play the good course. And they'll have one or two they want to play. And then they will listen to your suggestions about other places I think you should play as well. But they'll all have, you know, 2 or 3 that is a must for them, because they'll have heard from other fellow golfers and members in their club. Oh, you got to go here, you got to go there. And their typical day, I suppose, if they're being chauffeured around, Jody, well, then they really don't have to think too much, which is a nice way to do it. They get taken from their hotel to the golf course, and that usually might involve a 30-minute ride or an hour's ride, and usually it's all very scenic where you're going. Caddies are pre-arranged for them, so that's all done. In terms of weather, it's the one question that people ask me a lot. How do I pack for the weather? See, we don't get really many extremes in our climate here, but it can change, you know, and we always say, you know, if it rains, wait 5 minutes, it'll be gone. But layers, I think, are important, just light layers. And you can add on, but you don't want to be so that you can't be restricting your golf swing or whatever. So I would say, you know, good rain suit is important. But inside of that, just layers, lighter layers that you can add or subtract depending on the weather. And it's funny, like, I mean, everyone will have this notion that are just saying, oh, look at rains in Ireland. Now you can, you know, we had a group there last May/June. And for their 2 week period, like they were wearing shorts every day. They were even, and we got a couple of days, like they were in our money in Celsius, like they were close to 30 degrees. Like, and then the next group came a week after that, and it might have rained a shower, a couple of showers every day. And it just, so you can plan for the weather in Ireland, but that's kind of part of the fun as well. But their typical day would be, you know, like I say, they get taken to the course, the caddies are arranged for them. And, you know, it typically takes 4.5 to 5 hours to play, because usually with caddies, they're giving them lots of information and they're to enjoy the course. Then they'll come in and they'll have something to eat. Like if they go out early in the morning, then it's around lunchtime, they'll have something to eat. They'll have a few beers and then they'll buy something in the pro shop, you know, and then they'll head back to their hotel. They like to golf as much as they can. Most people will just do 18 every day, but you're going to get the diehards that might do 36 a couple of times in their itinerary as well, you know. And because they would say, their argument is, well, it's either that or we go drinking, you know.
Yeah.
And then they're taken back to their hotel and then it's again. But they will play golf every day. Like, they'll rarely take a day off. They're here to play golf, like you said. And they're here, you know, to experience the great courses that we have to offer. So it's golf, eat and drink, basically.
So is there any golf etiquette in Ireland that might be a little different than someplace else? Anything people might want to keep in mind or know about in advance so they don't, you know, put down the wrong foot?
It's pretty standard across the board, you know, no hats in the clubhouse, use of cell phones. It's pretty standard across the world now in that respect, you know. And you know, I think Americans are kind of well versed in etiquette anyway in their own club. So it is universally the rules are pretty much the same. So I don't think there's anything really there that they might ask you, like, do we need to bring a blazer? You know, so there's an odd club maybe in parts of the UK and Scotland that you might need a blazer for going, but it's kind of quite rare, to be honest about it, you know. So casual, smart casual, that's it.
Smart casual, there you go. Smart casual and layers.
Yeah, they don't like you wearing jeans and stuff like that playing golf, you know. It's smart casual, you know, whether tailored shorts or tailored pants, whatever. Smart casual, yeah.
So Gerard, let's shift a little bit and talk about Ireland Travel Links, which is the company that you run. And actually, it's a family business, if I am remembering correctly. And tell me a little bit about what you do. I know that I looked, and the golf tours that are listed on your site offer a great overview of locations and services. So share a little bit about what you offer.
Yeah. So, you know, again, going back to pre-COVID, you know, because we do, as well as golf tours, we do a lot of, you know, private guided tours as well for the non-golfer. So, you know, prior to COVID, we were doing probably a little bit more guided tours than golf tours. Post-COVID, it's been much more golf tours than private guided tours. So, like, our company, you know, as you mentioned, it's a small bespoke company. We try to look after people personally as much as we possibly can, you know. And it's a family, you know, it is a family-run business. We're there now about 20 years or so. And it kind of started off, you know, much smaller, obviously. And we gain traction through referrals, you know, and through people like, you know, we're still getting referrals from 16 and 17 years ago. People keep your name. They'd ring you up and say, look, I've given your name to somebody else. And for most people, like if you were going on holidays anywhere, whether it's golf or whether it's just non-golf, and you'd look up as many websites as you possibly can until you're blue in the face. But if somebody says to you, I toured with Ireland Travel Links and I can recommend them. I mean, that's a good enough endorsement in the sense that it puts your mind at ease. The money you're spending, you know, it's going to somebody that's going to look after you and is going to ensure that you're going to have a good holiday. And that's very reassuring, especially for Americans. You know, they like to be reassured because anyone can dress up a good website and, you know, purport to be doing this.
Right. That personal referral makes all the difference.
Referral is kind of advertisement you can't buy, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so as we say, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. So if you send them home after their tour with really good memories and everything, they're going to recommend you to other people for sure.
Yes.
And possibly then there's the repeat business. They come back again in a couple of years, you know. Some will do maybe trips every year. Mostly people do every couple of years, you know, because there's so many other places in the world they go to as well.
Right. So, Gerard, if I read everything correctly, basically all people need to do is know that they want to go and golf in Ireland. They contact you and you are able to help with everything from booking the courses and the accommodations, other attractions as well. I mean, basically full service, right?
full service and the ground transportation. And yes, attractions as well, because at times they're in there, you know, if you're going to courses like Lahinch, that's up there by the famous Cliffs of Moher, I want to do that as well. Because some of them, yeah, would like to take in some of the attractions. And then the other big thing is, you know, like during the day, they'll just have lunch in the clubhouse, whatever. But at night, they like to go to the pub grub place. We're famous in Ireland for our pub grub, you know. It's a lot of visitors like to do because they can savor the atmosphere of the town. And our pub grub, they become very, you know, good gourmet places. You know, they're all... Food in Ireland is very good, by the way.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
It's one of the things that actually surprises people when they come here. They go, my God, the food is just wonderful. So in the last number of years, Ireland really has set itself apart as a gourmet destination, which is not something you might associate if you went to Italy. You think, oh, the food is, you know. But most people will tell us that the food is better in Ireland than it might be like somewhere like Italy or Spain or whatever, you know. We're kind of very proud of that fact. And it, again, that's another feather in our cap, like, because it's not just all about the golf. You've got the golf, you've got the people who take you around, your chauffeur guide, and where you eat, you know, a pub they take you maybe to drink, and maybe there's a music, a traditional Irish music session thereafter. So it's a pretty full-on day, you know.
It's the complete experience.
Yeah, it's the whole experience, and it encompasses a lot of things, you know. That makes it, like, whether it is they had a wonderful caddy or they had a nice lunch at the clubhouse, or later on that night they had a lovely meal at a pub and then they heard some traditional Irish music in another place. You know, it's all about what happens in their day, that everything adds up to making it a great trip. And that's what we do best. We kind of ascertain quickly what they like, what they don't like. You know what I mean? You're going to get people who, look, I want to be in bed by 9 o'clock, that's fine, you know, and you're going to get, usually the younger golfing groups, they like to go out at night. And that's nice. Because they're only, you know, they work hard and they're there for a week and they're there with their buddies and they want to go out and meet the locals and drink Guinness, you know, that's their favorite thing to do, you know.
It's a vacation.
Yeah. And it sometimes amazes me. I often had groups that came with groups of 8 men or 12 or whatever. Then a couple of years later, they might come back with their wives and children, you know, their families, and the demand completely different. You know, we sometimes kid about this, you know, and the demand is different for a golfing group as say for a family trip or whatever,
right,
you know.
Right.
But that's what we're here for, Jody. We accede to whatever they want to do, you know, and try and give them the best experience of the whole lot, you know. And really, like I say, it isn't just us, it's the people around us who are in the industry as well. They all do a job, you know, from the time they get welcomed at the golf club, from the time they leave, you know, wherever they go after that, or the attraction that they visit. Ireland does leave a lasting impression, for sure.
Yes, it does. So how can people get a hold of you? Obviously, your website, any social media they can follow to kind of get a little bit more of an idea of what you do?
Yeah, we're on Instagram and Facebook, and our website is www.irelandtravellinks.com. And, you know, we can offer testimonials from people as well, like, you know, through the website.
And my listeners know that in my show notes, I have all the links they need to get a hold of you. So
yes,
those will be in the show notes. So to wrap up, and I gave you a little bit of a heads up of this because sometimes this question is like choosing your favorite child.
Yes.
But since we're talking about golf,
yeah,
what 3 golf courses in Ireland should every golfer play and why? And I know that's an awful question. It's a hard question, but I'm really interested to hear your thoughts. You're going to need a car to reach some of these recommended destinations, and I'm excited to share that my listeners receive an exclusive 10% discount from Irish Car Rentals. All you have to do is visit IrelandFamilyVacations.com/ICR, and that will take you directly to the booking page and my exclusive 10% discount. Again, that's IrelandFamilyVacations.com/ICR. Now, let's hear about these recommended destinations.
Yeah, well, of course, if I could say to answer this question, I might break it up into two sections of Ireland, because we have the southwest region here where we have Ballybunion, Tralee, Lahinch and Waterville and those. Then you go to Coast and you have Port Marnock and you have European Club and you have County Louth. And then you go further north and you have, in Northern Ireland, you have Royal County Down, Port Rush and Port Stewart. So if I could say in the southwest here, because Jody, what will happen is they will pick one of those three destinations, right?
Okay.
You know, as we talk to the client, like we'll quickly ascertain, okay, which area do you want to come? So if I was say in the southwest, well, of course, Ballybunion, this is my home club. And it is, you know, we are inside the top 20 in the world ranking. So, you know, it is well documented how good it is. And then you have Lahinch, which is another fantastic links course. And you have Waterville. And those three are all, you know, over 100 years old. So They have the tradition. Tralee, I'll mention in there because it's a newer course, but because it was designed by Arnold Palmer, it's getting a lot of traction as well. Mm-hmm. But those three or four courses there would be ones that I would absolutely recommend to people to play. Then if you're going up to the East Coast, you know, you've got Port Marnock, which is a very famous links course. You've got County Louth, which is another, again, all on the seaside. And you got the European Club. Then you go up to Northern Ireland. You have Royal County Down, Port Rush and Port Stewart. So, as you know, Port Rush, they've had the British Open there and they're going to have the Open there again soon. So they're all, again, like, the thing I say to people, you know, about, it is a hard question to answer, but the thing that I will say to people when they generally ask you, even if they narrow it down, what is your favorite course, you know, pick one type of thing, that's even harder again. But what I say to people, look, wouldn't it be terrible if they were all identical? It's the combination of what the courses offer. They're similar because they're links, but they'll all have different challenges as well. So I think that's what makes it very attractive, is the variety, you know, between the courses. And they will always, at the end of the trip, tell you what their favorite course was. It usually might be the place they lost the least amount of golf balls or whatever. Because our rough can be very penalizing in the summertime when we have a lot of... And that can be interesting as well, what their favorite course was. Sometimes it mightn't tally with what I would say, you know. But I think what I would say is, like, it's great that they're not all the same. It's the fact that they are different, and each course they go to each day is going to be slightly different. And I think that's what makes it better. But I hope I answered that properly.
What I heard was you need to come back a few times and play them all. So,
well, you know what? That is absolutely true. And that's interesting you say that, because like Ballybunion, for instance, is highly ranked, but it's also difficult. And what happens there is you'd often say to them, or they might say, God, if I could only play that again, I think I could play it better. And I think you're right, exactly what you said, you know, if you get, and that does tend to bring them back again. So look, I'll be back next year, 2 years time, you know, and they remember the nuances of the course and what have you. So yeah, it does help. It definitely does help if they play it twice. And that's why some of them will do 36 holes, you know, because they like to kind of, okay, I mean, you're coming on a big trip for a start and you've never played any of these courses before. And then you suddenly have regrets about certain shots and say, God, I'd love to get out there. But if they were playing again in the afternoon, they'll go, I know how to work this course now.
I know what this one has available for me. Yeah. Oh, gosh. This has been so informative, Gerard, especially for somebody who, like I said, doesn't golf. It's just so interesting, the history and the differences and things. And I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me today.
My pleasure, Jody. My pleasure. Well, for a non-golfer, your questions were very good. And you should game, you know, and come to Ireland, right? And see what it's all about.
Yes, yes. I definitely, I mean, like I said, I know that I receive a lot of inquiries from golfers, and it's definitely a destination for golf. So this was so helpful and so informative.
My pleasure. My pleasure, Jody.
I don't know about you, but I learned so much about golf in Ireland in this chat, and I just can't thank Gerard enough for popping in, sharing this information, and maybe inspiring you to head to Ireland and pick up a club. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a 5-star review at Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you cannot leave a review on your podcast app, you can leave a review on the Ireland Family Vacations Facebook page. Or if you are on Instagram, go ahead, snap a screenshot of the podcast, pop it in your stories, say a couple nice things, and tag me at Ireland Family Vacations. If you have questions or comments, you can always email me, Jody, J-O-D-Y, at IrelandFamilyVacations.com. Thanks so much for listening, and until next time, slán go fóill.